Proverbs 14, verse 29. We're going to read from 29 over to chapter 15, verse 1. The theme for tonight is anger. The title is How to Get Angry. So I'm getting to read it, Proverbs 14, 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. The wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds it her refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding, but it makes itself known even in the midst of fools. Her righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A servant who deals wisely has the king's favor, but his wrath falls on one who acts shamefully. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I set out to preach on anger from Proverbs and discovered that you can get angry at Proverbs. Why don't they put these anger Proverbs closer together? Did a little word search, anger, angry, fury, wrath. They are evenly distributed through the Proverbs. You cannot go and get a nice clump of them somewhere. They are just all over the place. Now, why is it so unhelpful to preachers as to leave the anger Proverbs so evenly distributed through 21 chapters of Proverbs? Well, because hearing about anger once is not going to solve your anger problem. You will need repetition, reminders, ongoing pushes. You're going to need to hear about it frequently. Because anger can seep into your soul. It can become your habitual response. And then you have got a problem. So if you are losing your struggle with anger, I pray this sermon helps to set you onto the right road. But you're not going to go very far down that road without reminders. So I recommend to you the book of Proverbs. I'm reading through it slowly. And then you will have a regular reminder about anger. Let's talk about anger. Let's start with the results of anger. What happens to the person who gets angry a lot? Let's not start with subtlety. Let's start with the obvious. You'll get in a lot of fights. Yes, if you're angry, you're going to get in a lot of fights. Chapter 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. Okay, that's fairly obvious. Proverbs 29, 22. A man of wrath stirs up strife. Yep, all right, chapter 30, verse 33. Pressing milk produces curds. Pressing the nose produces blood. Pressing anger produces strife. Have you been getting in a lot of fights lately? You say, oh, I never fight. Okay. Have you been getting a lot of arguments lately? Well, you may not be innocent. Someone else may be angry, sure. But if you're in a lot of quarrels, you're probably part of the problem. What happens when you're angry? First, you get a lot of fights. Secondly, you do a lot of foolish things. Chapter 14, verse 17. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. Or where we began. Whoever has a hasty temper exalts folly. You know, when you're angry, you don't do your best thinking. Actually, when you're angry, you may not do any thinking. You may not think at all. And that's a powerful reason to try to avoid anger. You get angry and then you do stupid stuff and you make things worse. Whatever your problem, anger will usually make it worse. And that's why it's called foolish. That's why it says, whoever has a hasty temper exalts folly. Here's the third result of anger. People will hate you. Chapter 14, verse 7 again. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. If you're always angry, you're going to get in fights, you're going to act foolishly, and then you will lose friends. In fact, you may not make some friends. In fact, the people who keep their distance from you won't be neutral. They'll say, I hate that guy. Tell him I look at him. He's in a fight. And if you're angry a lot, you're going to end up sinning. Chapter 29, verse 22. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and when given to anger, causes much transgression. Notice how it says, causes much transgression. That's a really awful thing about anger. Not only does it lead you into sin, it tends to lead other people into sin. Anger is a very fertile thing. It's contagious. It's catching. So anger leads to fights and foolishness, hatred and sin. And it's tragic because there's a better way close at hand, just like there's a proverb close at hand on it. Chapter 14, verse 30, the second one that we read, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. Yes, instead of anger, when there's tranquility, then there's life. But anger will lead to depression. My father learned this at some point. I think he was probably my age, or no, he must have been older than me. And he learned that anger leads to depression. He mentioned this, and his youngest child knew it already. And he thought, wow, how does my like 7-year-old, I mean, I didn't realize that until I was 40. How does my 7-year-old have such self-understanding to know that anger will lead to depression? Well, my brother learned it from a video game. It's a video game where you have to play different civilizations and marauders. And when you play the Vikings, it's historically cute. So the Vikings would whip themselves up into a frenzy and they'd go on their raid and they'd go on and just slaughter everybody and take all the plunder. And then historically, you can see that then they would tend to be in a funk for like a week. After the rage came the depression. It's actually true. You know, look in the mirror. Understand that your anger will lead to fights and foolishness, hating and sin. From history we could throw in depression. What leads to anger? You can see it's not a good thing to be in. It has bad effects, so what brings us into it? Well, chapter 15, verse 1 says, a harsh word stirs up anger. Other angry people will tend to produce anger. You know, one person's angry, okay, we can handle this in the family, but then there's a harsh word, and now you have 2, 3, 4, or 5 angry people. You gotta absorb that. When you're angry, sometimes it's best to be quiet. So the harsh words multiply the problems. And the more angry people, the farther you are from that tranquility. Try not to be contagious when you're angry. It's not just harsh words that lead to anger. There's other kinds of words. Chapter 25, verse 23. The north wind brings forth rain, I guess it did for them, and the backbiting tongue, angry looks. That backbiting tongue, gossip, slander, complaint, talking behind your back, this also leads to anger. Sometimes just being in a hurry leads to anger. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. He who has a hasty temper, when you want it your way now, you often don't get it your way right now. When you want it your way right now, you don't get it your way right now, then you get angry. You're in a hurry, and it's not your way, and the anger follows from the haste. I think we can say that bitterness leads to anger. It says in Ephesians, but now let it all be put away from you. Bitterness first. That's his anger and wrath. You know, a bitter person can be very quiet. And yet, when there's bitterness, the anger is going to come out. And then there'll be a bite to it. Let's go on to foolishness. Foolishness is not just a result of anger. Foolishness, of course, will lead to anger. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Don't be quick in your spirit to become angry. Anger lodges in the bosom of fools. See, we have what leads into anger. Other people's anger, other people's words, your own haste, your own bitterness, your own foolishness. How can you stop being angry? You can listen to these proverbs that counsel you to have good sense. Chapter 14, verse 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. You can just stop there and think about it. Great understanding. Sometimes we get angry. The other person didn't get our message, didn't hear us clearly, didn't hear us at all. So often we get angry and there was, like, really there was not even a good reason for it. Or we get angry, we would have been better off just waiting a little bit. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. Chapter 19, verse 11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. You know, there's the opposite mindset out there. The opposite mindset that says it is your glory to overlook nothing. When you let no insult go by, you avenge everything, and that's your glory. That's a very foolish mindset. It's out there. This says, no. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Not a problem. Not a problem. It's all right. We're finally chapter 12, verse 16. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Yes, there's so many benefits in not getting angry. You don't spread the cancer. You don't do what is foolish. You don't lead into hatred. And here's another thing in terms of how to not be an angry person. Don't make friends with angry people. That's written in Proverbs. Chapter 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. So we talk about your own anger, but how do you deal with other angry people? And that's why we finished with chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. How do you deal with an angry person? Speak softly to them. Now that's such a simple concept, but it's so hard to carry out. Because why are you talking to me that way? Oh, that didn't work. Bad idea. That was not the soft answer. No. So hard to say, that's not normal, yes, but normal is sinful and normal is broken. Here's a way of fixing it. A soft answer turns away wrath. It's not quite magic, but sometimes it's pretty close. Sometimes it works very well. And here's another one. Wait, how to deal with an angry person. Give them a present. Chapter 21, verse 14. A gift in secret averts anger, and a concealed bribe averts strong wrath. You're like, well, that's a little cynical. Yeah, but he's telling you what works. Okay. Way to deal with anger. I'll give him a present. So we've talked about the results of anger, the causes of anger, how to deal a little bit, a couple clues about how to deal with your own and other people's anger. Let's think about a little bit more broadly about anger. How should you think about anger as a topic? What is the Christian theology of anger? Is anger always bad? You might think so. Comes from folly, leads to folly, strife, and sin. The New Testament says, put away all bitterness, anger, and wrath. You're just about ready to draw the conclusion, okay, the angry person is wrong. You should never be angry. Anger is bad. And then you read Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. Jesus got angry. Specifically tells you he looked around at them with anger. You can also go over to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 at verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. The day of wrath. Whose wrath would that be referring to? That would be God's wrath. The day of judgment is also called the day of wrath. And so we can't conclude that anger is always bad, and that if you are angry that you are sinning, because God has anger. Jesus gets angry. And we know from Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the sinfulness of people. This is not a bug, it's a feature. It's a promised result. Deuteronomy 29, God says, if you break my covenant, if you think I'll be able to sin and keep it hidden, my anger will burn against you. And since anger was promised, anger is what he delivered. I looked up the word fury in the King James, that's the tool I had. Fury in the King James is mostly in the prophets, describing what God is going to bring. And God's anger unfolds usually in two phases. First, it comes against his own people. He brings some foreign nation against his people. It's a refrain in Isaiah 9 and 10. God judged Israel with the Philistines and with Syria. It says, for all this, his anger has not turned away. His hand is stretched out still. And he judged Israel in this way and that way. For all this, his anger has not turned away. His hand is stretched out. You get that refrain four times. It's the first phase. When God's anger is brought against his people. But then there's a second phase. In Isaiah 10, it says, ah, Assyria, the rod of my anger. I was using you to judge my people, but you thought you were just having a great time slaughtering people. When I'm done using you, my anger will fall on you. So there's a second phase where God will judge the foreign nation. And that will be deliverance for his people. You see it again in Isaiah 51. It says, Jerusalem, you have drunk the cup of God's wrath. You've been staggering. You've fallen down. People have walked over you. But wake up. Now I will give that cup of wrath to your enemies. And you'll be delivered. It's such a pattern that there's a pattern to the prophets. You can often divide the book in three. The first part is oracles against Israel. Second part is oracles against the nations. Third part is deliverance for Israel. That's why the last part of the book is usually the happy part. Okay. Deliverance for his own people after his wrath. First against them and then against the nation that oppresses them. So God's anger is righteous and holy. It's provoked by sin. Comes down first on his own and then on other people. And that's still how it works. It says in the New Testament, it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. Which means that we're ready to say something about anger. God's anger is his right, holy response to sin. And God gave us anger because we're made in his image. We are like him. And so our anger is to be, should be, our righteous response to evil and oppression. We should be angry when we see something wrong. We should be stirred up to do something about it. The trouble is that we're fallen creatures, and anger is such a potent, volatile thing, we can scarcely manage to stay in the righteous realm of anger. This helps us understand something about God's Word. There's so many warnings against anger, you'd think the lesson would be, don't get angry. That's not quite how it reads. Instead, it says over and over again, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. Slow. Or the New Testament, let everyone be quick to speak. Sorry, slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. The wise man is not the wise that he never gets angry, it's that he does it slowly. Now, why is that? Well, again, anger properly is the right response to sin. Jesus got angry with the Pharisees. But we're so sinful, it's almost impossible for us to be angry without sinning. When we're angry, we don't think clearly, we act in haste, sin is close to us. We need to be slow to anger so that by the time we're angry, we've thought about what we're going to do right. We want to get the thinking done before the anger takes over. We want to get the thinking done as it occurs to you that there is a problem to deal with. but you want to act on it slowly enough that your response is just, measured, well-calibrated, well-considered, not leading to further bad effects, not leading to more anger, etc. That's why it says, be slow to anger and quick to get over it. We're not to live in anger. Now, are we to dread God's anger or hope for it? Well, both. We are to fear the Lord, that is, we do not want His anger to fall on us. The psalmist says, Lord, don't enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one is just. And so we have the gospel, which is that God's anger against sin has, in a certain sense, already been poured out on Jesus. God's anger was poured out on Jesus at the cross. That's why He cries out and is forsaken and staggers. The wrath of God against sin comes down on Jesus. And so God's wrath should send you to Jesus. He is the one who can save you from God's anger. He is the one. God's anger is why you should want a Savior. Having been saved from God's wrath, not to despise His mercy by provoking Him again. So we're to fear God's anger and run to Jesus. And then when we are oppressed, the wrath of God is our hope. Listen to the book of Revelation chapter 11. The 24 elders fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, for rewarding your servants, for rewarding those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. But as wrath comes, then there is judgment and reward, and destroying the destroyers. God's wrath is our hope when we face oppression. And that's why we can pray for those who persecute us and not seek our own vengeance. If God were not coming in wrath to execute judgment, we would think that we had to do it. But instead it says, never take your own vengeance. Leave room for the wrath of God. God's wrath is going to come down on oppressors. So don't become one. Back away. Rather, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. So we have here something about how to think about anger. God's anger is His good and holy response to sin. We're not to fault God for it. We're to fear His anger, as we sang in Psalm 90, who fears His fury as we should. We're to give thanks for Jesus Christ, who has absorbed that anger so that we can come boldly into God's presence. And when we are oppressed, we're to look forward to God's anger coming to judge those who are evil. But knowing that anger is almost always too potent for ourselves, for us, we should wring it out of ourselves. And so once again, the words of James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. I believe the young people, many of them have this memorized. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Notice the slow again. Slow. But somebody might be forgiven for being angry at this point. I know I have an anger problem. Throwing verses around is not enough. What else am I to do? Well, we have a mention of anger in the Psalms. And it gives a little bit more of what to do. Psalm 4, verses 4 and 5. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. I find there are a series of things that ought to help us deal with our anger. First of all, be angry. Yes, there are things that will make you angry. Okay, so you're angry. It's not trying to turn you into an unfeeling kind of person. All right, be angry, but do not sin. Try to make that something you focus on. I'm angry, yes. Let me not make other people angry. Do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts. There's that silence on your beds. That's to slow you down. and be silent. Offer right sacrifices. Some of our anger we can deal with rather well if we consider what we had said previously or what we just did. Let us sacrifice for our own sin and put your trust in the Lord. The Lord who says, never take your own vengeance. Leave room for the wrath of God. I remember hearing of a man who, when he was a teenager, saw a guy, his friend, who would get angry like that. And this foolish young man thought, that is so cool. So he set out to be the same. And then discovered that he had created a problem for himself. He got angry like this. He'd worked on it. But God was gracious to him. When he turned to Jesus, he worked by the grace of God's Spirit. And if I told you who this was, no relation to me, if I told you this was, you'd be surprised. You would not think of him as an angry person. Indeed, you think of him really as a rather calm one. It's by God's Spirit, even these difficult problems can be addressed and reversed. Let everybody be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've made us in your image. We thank you that you are holy and pure, and that you are filled with indignation against sin. Father, in our sinfulness, we find our own anger, a heavy burden to bear, and a heavy burden we lay on others. So we ask that you'd forgive us for our sins of anger. And walk with us, Lord, and sustain us. Help us to turn from our anger and turn to you. Help us, Lord, to have these ways of slowing down. Help us to be silent on our beds. Help us to put our trust in you. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.